to welcome you all to this service of thanksgiving for the Lord's goodness and mercy for 50 years to Peter and Abel. We can be sure that through the years there have been many changing scenes, times of sickness, times of power, times of penury and wealth, times of trial and of grief, times of triumph and relief. But also we feel sure the times to taste the Saviour's love. As we join with them, may we each be favoured with a true spirit of praise. For the psalmist said, it is good to give thanks unto the Lord. And as we look back in thankfulness, may we also look forward in faith, believing that he who has helped us hitherto will help us all our journey through and give us daily cause to raise new Ebenezer's to his praise. I'd just like to say that there'd be an extra hymn between the reading and prayer, and also to say that Peter and Jabez have helped with the selection of hymns we sing together this evening. We commence by singing hymn number 421, the tune number 27. Hymn number 21. To God, the only wise, our Saviour and our King, let all the saints that are despised their humble praises bring. To our Redeemer God, wisdom and power belong, immortal crowns of majesty and everlasting songs. Hymn number 421.
Thank you. let's read from the Word of God, from Psalm 116 and 145. Psalms 116 and 145. I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he inclined his ear unto me. Therefore I call upon him as long as I live. Margin reading, in my days. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk for the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render on the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I pay my vows on the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer thee a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows on the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. We now read from Psalm 145, Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name for ever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name for ever and ever. And great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. O speak the glorious honour of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. Raise up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and says for the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfil the desire of them that fear him. also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name for ever and ever. May the Lord bless to our souls the reading of his own sacred word. Let us pray. O thou most holy, ever gracious, ever merciful God, in whom we live and move and have our very being, only holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. We do pray for grace we may be given that privilege of divine worship this evening hour. Our hearts may be touched, a sense of our great unworthiness, and thy great goodness and tender mercy to poor sinners. That solemn stoop that was made from the eternal glory in heaven, that there should be a way made for poor sinners to plead. There should be a way opened in heaven for poor souls to look to. That there should be one, a mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And to thee we look once again, to thee we pray for grace we may bow, to thee for help we call. Our life, our resurrection, thou our Jesus, yea, our all. For we are solemnly given to understand that without thee we do nothing saving, eternal, or good in thy sight. And yet, O Lord, in thine infinite mercy, dost condescend to listen to the cries and the prayers and tears of poor helpless sinners upon this earth who have no confidence in their flesh, who come pleading that which thou art alone as the sinner's friend. And your prayer hearts may be graciously warmed and drawn with thy ever heavenly love and mercy to plead with thy heavenly majesty this evening, that our worship may be acceptable in the precious name of Jesus. That may be that true praise indite in our hearts, deep in our spirit, that thou alone canst see. That we may know little that gracious and blessed influence of thy gracious spirit within us. For no man can cometh except Father himself draw him. Lord, we long to be drawn. We long to feel the effect of that wonderful sin atoning blood of which we have been singing this evening. We long to know in this occasion once again, dear Lord, we hope we have proved here many times over the years, they who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. When another one was good enough to pay the price of sin, or may that precious and atoning blood be sprinkled upon our worship. May be brought nigh, Lord, this evening hour. May we have communion with heaven. May we be given grace to ascend above the earthly things of few moments and view those heavenly realities. And as the dear psalmist said, this God is our God. Dear Lord, we love to have more tokens of our interest in that wonderful, precious truth. We do pray that send out thy light from heaven. Let them lead us. Let them bring us on thy holy hill and thy tabernacle. May thy gracious presence be felt in our midst this evening hour. Especially we gather here, Lord, thou knowest, with thy deep concern in our spirit to render that praise due to thy great and holy name. Both regarding thy dealings with the cause of truth here. Thou hast not forsaken thy dear people, Lord, we fear, who given thine hereditary promise. We're not worthy of the least of thy mercies and truth, nor we own. The Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, and because thy compassions fail not. And do pray that condescend look down from heaven, thy dwelling place upon poor needy souls, who gather here this evening hour. God, they may rise up from themselves. We read of one dear woman long ago, O Lord, who was bowed down by a spirit of infirmity and could in no wise lift up herself. And dear Lord, we just as helpless ourselves, just as needy, to bring anything good unto thee, Lord. But oh, we freed in thy holy word, those precious hands did touch her, and she was made perfectly whole. And dear Lord, thy touch has still its ancient power. And you pray it might be a time of meeting, a time of a sweet touch from heaven for some poor sinner's heart. Would you pray it might be a time of appointment, a time when thou shalt be pleased to meet with poor sinners in this sanctuary. And maybe those who may go away and say, the Lord met with me there. If that be the gracious case, Lord, we would own it and commend to thee our humble praise and thanksgiving, and we'll crown thee, Lord, of all. And so, Lord, we do pray, thy good spirit may rule our hearts and govern all our words and ways, that grace may abound in every part and teach our tongue to speak thy praise. What a rich blessing it is, dear Lord, that thou so anoint our poor unworthy eyes, the faith we may see thy goodness and mercy toward us. And take in our heart from the willow branches, and lay the praise of Christ our King bid every string awake. We would be thankful, Lord, for all thy temporal mercies and loving kindnesses unto us. But dear Lord, we have read even this evening that the Lord is good to all, and thy tender mercies are over all thy works. All thy works shall praise thee, and thy saints shall bless thee. And to pray that may be blessings in our hearts, Lord, and maybe that true thanksgiving in our spirit, that though we are sinners, we are saved in the Redeemer's blood. We have no plea, dear Lord, with thy heavenly majesty. We realize how wretched we are by nature, unobservant of thy mercies. How much we take for granted in our poor fallen nature, thy goodness and compassion toward us night and day. Lord, where can we look? But that one fount of hope and comfort and mercy, that door is open wide in Jesus' wounded hands and side. And you pray, enliven our spirit. Lord, we feel not the dear psalmist, but mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is our trust. Leave not our souls destitute of that gracious heavenly influence in our souls. Remember the house of God to us and the gate of heaven this evening in our worship. There may be that gracious evidence amongst us of that divine heavenly power that comes in the everlasting gospel, that poor souls may be strengthened by faith, brightened in hope, and love may increase to thee and thine. We especially thank thee, dear Lord, for the many mercies, thy faithfulness, compassion, constant care over dear Peter and Ethel, over the many years that we've lived and loved with them. What we look back upon, Lord, of thy kind intervention, thy long-suffering and tender mercy, thy delivering grace in times of trouble and distress. Those times of blessing, O Lord, and deliverance. Those times of sweet favour from heaven upon their souls. That strength and patience given to them in their labours and their concerns through which they pass. Who can hold us up but thou, Lord? It is through thy strength alone that thy people are maintained and enabled to take up the cross to die themselves and follow after Jesus. And do pray, dear Lord, that as we gather here tonight, we may join with them in humble thanksgiving and praise for all this past, that kind heavenly hand has dealt with them, that knoweth what things we have need of before we ask thee. O Lord, we look on in humble gratitude and wonderment at thy tender mercy, thy unfailing wisdom, thy gracious hand to support, lead, guide, direct and protect and provide. And do pray we gather here tonight, Lord, their hearts may be established in these truths and realize within their spirits as they worship with us this evening hour the divine savour and preciousness, as did dear David long ago when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Dear Lord, he could look forward. He could look back in humble gratitude. The sweet Ebenezer he had in review could confirm that good pleasure to see him quite through. Not thou the same today, dear Lord. Art not thou Abraham's God and Jacob's and Isaac's and David's and all those who've gone before us, dear Lord? Art not the same Jesus still now, looking from heaven, the eternal courts of glory and compound? And so we do pray, Lord, as we look upon these matters, we may have a sweet refreshing in our spirit of these divine principles of grace, everlasting mercy, unchanging faithfulness and tender care. And may we give grace to cast all our cares upon thee, realizing he careth even for us. Lord, great God, who infinite art thou, and yet as we view thine infinite, comprehensive, eternal glory and kingdom, we know, Lord, thou dost have to do with poor sinners upon this earth. Even the sparrows from the heaven are known of thee. So we praise and bless thy glorious name for thy infinite holiness, thine infinite compassion, thine infinite mercy, thine infinite grace and long-suffering. And do pray faith may be strengthened. We do pray hope may be brightened. We do pray that strengthen the weak hands of faith to lay hold on the hope set before them, even life everlasting. Do help those who gather here tonight, Lord, feeling their want and need of thee. Oh, may their needs be supplied, God, rich in glory by Christ Jesus. Do make thyself known to us, Lord, in all thy compassion and tender mercy and long-suffering. And do grant, Lord, there may be a going with a strengthened knees again, Lord, to walk in the ways of thy truth. And grant, Lord, confirmation of those who are seeking to know the way and want direction from thee, Lord. O grant them grace to wait upon thee and to wait for thee in thy appointed way. And may thy word be a lamp unto their feet, a light their path in this wilderness, to lead them on fair Zion's road, the weary, weak and faint. For O they ne'er shall lose their God, or God e'er lose a saint. How many souls, when they're gathered to eternal glory, who once were mourning here below and wet their couch with tears, they wrestled hard as we do now with sins and doubts and fears. We remember them, Lord. We commune with them. We wept with them. We prayed with them. But I asked them whence their victory came. They with united breath May we in our poor utterances, Lord, unite with them, even this evening hour, to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." See, honour, glory, and power, and dominion forevermore. And so, Lord, may we have that song of thanksgiving in our spirit even tonight. We may see no man save Jesus only, and view in thy glorious person all our salvation and all our desire, the chiefest among 10,000, altogether lovely. Be true followers of them who, through faith and patience, do inherit the promises. So do uphold our dear friends, Lord, we pray, in every trying scene, every strange circumstance that calls to pass through, not to think it strange. But Lord, we do think it strange sometimes. We look upon things with feeble light and half obscure, poor mortals, thy arrangements view, not knowing that the least are sure, or the mysterious just and true. We do pray for grace, Lord, trust in thee with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways to acknowledge thee, thou direct our paths aright. So, Lord, do take us in hand. Leave us not, nor forsake us, O God of our salvation. But come to all the ends of the earth, that far off upon the sea. But grant, we do pray, that souls may be instructed and protected and provided for and watched over, when all may slumber and sleep, though never to slumber nor sleep, Lord. May that kind eye of compassion be upon us, and grant, Lord, we do humbly pray, in these sad days in which our lot is cast to live, that we please return in mercy unto Zion, raise up a godly seed yet to serve thee. Bless a rising generation, O Lord, those near and dear unto us. O, do keep them. Be their guardian and their guide. Leave not to walk alone this wilderness, but do turn their hearts unto thee, Lord. We have our burdens, our cares, Lord, thou only knowest. We do pray for grace to cast our burden upon the Lord and leave it there. Save them interfering, Lord, intermeddling with thy solemn wisdom, that thou dost allow to come into our lives things that cause us sadness. But, Lord, grant us patience to humble ourselves in the mighty hand that would exalt us in due season above our troubles. Please put forth thy almighty power, Lord, to make the crooked things straight, the rough places smooth, to bring the hills and mountains down before thy heavenly presence, to exalt the valleys of humiliation. So, Lord, do bless thy word to every tried soul who gathers here tonight, and grant it may lead them and guide them in their thoughts to consider him who endured all conscious of sin against himself, lest he become weary and faint in our minds. Oh, that we may keep our eyes upon, steadfast upon thee, and run with patience that race that thou hast set before us in thy divine sovereign will and purposes, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thy grace suffices saints of old. It made them strong, it made them bold, and it suffices still. We do pray that bless us now as we'll sing thy praises once again. To open these poor unworthy lips, we do humbly pray. May thy word be open to our understanding. There be life, light, and liberty and love flowing down into our hearts from heaven. The word of life may be broken by thine own hands. Lord, thou hast spoken this poor unworthy soul. They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Dear Lord, thou knowest the impossibilities. but on thy great compassion and tender mercy, to kindly open our hearts and open our lips, to show forth thy praise, thy honour, and thy glory, and to thee be all the honour, the glory, and power, and dominion. And so, Lord, do have mercy upon us, we pray. We seek every blessing, for thy dear name's sake. Amen.
Continue our service by singing hymn number 420, the tune Southport number 69. Oh, bless the Lord my soul, let all within me join, and aid my heart to bless his name, whose favours are divine. His wondrous works and wonders he made by Moses now, that sent the world his truth and grace by his beloved Son. In number 420.
please to help us a few minutes. We are turned to Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13. Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Or take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Or take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. We read the path the dear psalmist had to walk through, which was a very sad and suffering path that many of God's people are caused to walk through. He did not learn God's truth as schoolboys learn their tasks, but he had solemn, sacred, and deep experiences of the malady and the remedy too. And for our hearts to be tuned to eternal glory, friends, we must know both sides of the question. The psalmist said, the Lord bringeth low and the Lord raiseth up. And that's the way our hearts are tuned, our hearts are exercised. That's where praise comes from. That's what made the dear prophet say long ago, it's the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. If we're true pilgrims to Canaan bound, dear friends, we shall have the echo in our hearts the same as he had. For grace, an emptying principle. Lord, empty the souls of poor sinners of every false comfort, hope, and confidence in fleshly things, to turn their hearts to his glory and his honour, that none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Do you know, dear friends, heaven is Jesus only. Realise, my friends, there's no heaven without him. And heaven is all Jesus. Do you realise, my dear friends, we can go in a pew or a chapel all our lives and sing about him and never know him but for God's mercy? We can come and go with no felt need that dear Saviour. We can come unconcerned this glorious person. No felt need of that precious and atoning blood upon our conscience to wash away our sins and transgressions. We may sing about all these things, dear friends, and yet not know him. May the dear Apostle Paul cry out for his very soul in the third heavens and seen things unmentionable in any human language. And he still prays the same prayer, that I may know him. And friend, heaven is knowing him. It will not be long enough to explore the greatness of his glory, his wonderful beauty and compassion to poor, needy, helpless, undone sinners as we are by nature, to redeem our souls from hell and eternal destruction into heaven's eternal glory and happiness where sin no more defiles. And my friend, there have been people in the same pews that you were in, knowing their eternal glory and happiness where sin no more defiles. And I asked them whence their victory came. No dissension in heaven, friends. No disputes there. They with united breath. And God's people unite just a little with them, friends, beside the grave. They are so touched and humbled. A sense of God's great goodness and compassion and mercy into their souls. They lift but a little of that same blessed song, and they enter into eternal glory and happiness where sin no more defiles. And this psalm here gives us a little insight in the psalmist's heart. went to very deep places, that poor dear man did. More than once in the song we find he was so overwhelmed with a sense of his unworthiness and sinfulness before a holy God, he'd only plead for God's mercy and wait for his mercy. He didn't wait in vain, dear friends. He didn't wait in vain. He said, "The Lord shall mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand?" He says, and not one in this vast company in this the nation of which he was king or otherwise could stand. In their own strength and nature, all night. Anointing oil upon his head, his crown could not save him. He says, "But there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared." And that's the beginning of all true praise and thanksgiving, dear friends. The blessed way God teaches, dear people, even in 1998. To know this same precious Jesus. There'll be another Jesus, my dear friends. Never can be. When you send the glory through the clouds into heaven, the angel spake to the Galilean and said, "O ye Galileans, why stand ye gazing into heavens? This same Jesus shall come again." And he will, dear friends. "We shall all see him, every eye shall see him. We shall all be there, dear friends. And now if we stand in that dread day." And so God in his mercy will teach a poor sinner a little of what they are in themselves. To know the fullness of the precious Saviour is their never dying souls. He'll tune their harps, dear friends, as David's harp of solemn sound. He'll show them the beauty and glory of David knew in Psalm 72. "His kingdom shall have no end," David says. "Nebuchadnezzar forever, his name as long as the sun, may be blessed in him, that he may look right through all the generations of humanity," friends. Look to eternal glory. A great and solemn was there, no less than God's own eternal Son from heaven, the sinner's friend, who died upon Calvary's cross. David could look that glorious sacrifice. And so in the psalm here, you know as well as I do undoubtedly, this was a psalm that was used at the Passover. When the Lord Jesus Christ had the Passover with his disciples, he had this psalm. They sung a hymn and went out. It was this psalm they would be singing. Those holy lips, my friend, took these words upon. Those holy lips were his dear people. And my friends, he suffered the sorrows of death for their never dying souls. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we in him are the righteousness of God. The chastisement of thy peace was upon him. By his stripes you are healed. All we lot should have gone astray, turned everyone to our own way. He's laid on him the iniquity of all his dear people. Precious Jesus, friend of sinners. My dear man entered into it. His Saviour's mercy, his compassion, loving kindness, pardoning grace to a never dying soul. He entered into what it really meant unto him. This great salvation, God's own eternal Son. He said, "Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, the most strong for thyself." It goes even deeper, friends. The want and wound and need of a poor sinner. He went right to the eternal purpose of the Heavenly Father's love. The poor lovely soul. And who maketh it differ, friends? In 1998. That'll start your singing, poor sinner. Who maketh it a differ? Go back and think a moment, dear friend, where you would have been, and desire to have been, but for God's mercy. But who made it to differ, friend? Could you make yourself to differ? No. Fruitless task, wasn't it? But who made thee to differ, friend? Turn thy feet to Zion's hill, poor sinner. Who could do it but the Lord himself, friend? And what a wonderful mercy. Why did he make you to differ, my dear friend? For his own dear Son in heaven. And who make to differ, friends? In 1998. That'll start your singing, poor sinner. Who maketh thee to differ? Go back and think a moment, dear friend, where you would have been and desire to be, but for God's mercy. But who made thee to differ, friend? Could you make yourself to differ? No. Fruitless task, wasn't it? But who made thee to differ, friend? Turn thy feet to Zion's hill, poor sinner. Who could do it but the Lord himself, friend? And what a wonderful mercy. Why did he make you to differ, my dear friend? For his own dear Son in heaven. That glorious righteousness he wrought for poor sinners to plead. That sin atoning blood sprinkled upon their consciences to be reconciled unto God through his own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said, what's our render then? You know, friend, we feel this little in our hearts, you know. We want to render something, don't we? What can we render? Cattle upon a thousand hills are his. Gold and silver are his. What can we render the Lord for all his benefits toward us? What can we give him? He had a good question, friends. And this question is hard on every redeemed soul. When they touch a little from heaven, you know, friends, the sense of their unworthiness and God's great compassion toward them, and tears flow down their cheeks of humble gratitude. They say, why me, O Lord, why me? So insignificant, unworthy, lost, ruined, undone, guilty, forlorn, sad, uncomely. Why me, O Lord, why me? Ah, dear friends, they never think they are brought too low. Should Jesus on their pity show. To be the minister content, so Jesus but their souls present. Nobody else can present us, friends, but Jesus. He presents poor helpless souls for his heavenly Father's divine glory in heaven, and his own merits and righteousness. He says, they are mine. Redeemed by Jesus' blood, redeemed. You're bought with a price. Now, this awakens gratitude. It doesn't leave a soul idle, my friends, and listless, and helpless, unworthy. No. It moves by almighty love in their soul, friends, and nothing can withstand it. My people shall be willing in the day of my power, not till then. When the Lord does come, my friend, the heart of a poor sinner, filled out with love divine or love's excelling, in Jesus' precious name, nothing can hold them, friends. They must render some to the Lord in heaven. Repentance comes the soul of that poor sinner. And like Saul of Tarsus, they begin to pray. He said many long prayers and big phylacteries. He'd had round his head for many long years. He'd learnt at Gamaliel's feet all the intricacies of the old dispensation of the worship of old. He knew everything in perfection. No one could ever point a finger at Saul of Tarsus. Tarsus was all blameless. Surely that man must go to heaven. No, dear friends, no. There's something missing. Something lacking. Some of the heart of Cain. Cain was honest, sincere. Cain worshipped God as far as he understood his natural mind. Cain came with quite an honest worship, you know. But what's the trouble then, my friends? He did not know his need of a Saviour. a God without a Saviour would suit him and all his religion and his prayers. All in creation was all he needed. He did not know the lost and ruined undone sinner, weighed in the balance and found wanting. But all those creative glories that Abel thanked God for cannot satisfy his never dying soul. He was a sinner in God's sight. So Abel needed a Saviour, friends, the precious blood of Jesus. Abel needed the Lamb of God to take away his sins and transgressions. Without that, sin was lying at his door, as much as it was with Cain. But oh, when he looked to that wonderful fount of hope and comfort in God's own eternal Son, his sins were pardoned. He had the benefit and favour of heaven upon his soul. And dear David says, regarding this benefit in Psalm 103, he says, and forget not all his benefits, David says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, every one, who healeth all thy diseases, redeemeth thy life from destruction, crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. He goes on, these wonderful benefits. That's a benefit, friend, we're looking to. A sense of pardoning love. Realize our sins are washed away in the Lamb's redeeming blood. Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear the witness with my heart that I am born of God. No other blood can do it, dear friend. No, not one was good enough to pay the price of sin, dear friends. If it could be so, Jesus would never have come down from heaven to leave the eternal glory and happiness and bliss of heaven's eternal glory. The Heavenly Father never had come sent him down to suffer upon this world of wickedness and sin and death, been any other way that sin could be pardoned. But God knew there's no other way where God could be justified and poor helpless sinners are saved. None of them was good enough to pay the price of sin. So God sent for his only begotten Son from heaven, co-equal, co-eternal, eternal Father and eternal Spirit. He sent him down this world to suffer, bleed and die, friends. He came unto his own received him not, as many as received him, to them gave he power, right or privilege to become the sons of God, them that believe in his name. And dear friend, to believe in his name is a wonderful miracle of eternal glory. And to believe about him, be correct in our theological doctrines regarding him, be meticulous regarding our wording relating to him. No, friends, but to believe in him. What think you of Christ is the test, to try both our state and our scheme. We can't grow in the rest unless we think rightly of him. And so, friends, the chiefest among 10,000. Do we realise, dear friend, Adam must perish for all eternity? Realise out of Christ almighty power can do nothing but devour, friends. Our best obedience to appear before the throne of glory, friends. Lord, to be found in him. So dear David cried out, be thou my strong habitation. And dear Moses had a wonderful comfort to his heart when all those wicked sinners in the wilderness came to a standstill for their murmurs against God. And Moses offered to lay down his life for them, but his blood wasn't good enough, friends. Nor was Isaac's. No. And so God says, there's a place by me. Thy feet shall stand upon a rock, Moses. Oh, what a miracle, friend, of thanksgiving. There's mercy, friends. there's pardon, there's compassion, there's grace, there's wisdom. Wisdom perfect and holy from heaven, poor souls, in eternal purposes, and person God's own eternal Son and the Heavenly Father. And so that causes thanksgiving. And then what can we render then for this? What can we do? Well, he gives us the answer, doesn't he? Oh, take the cup of salvation. What's a cup? It's a receptacle. It holds something. Lord Jesus Christ was given a cup from his Heavenly Father. He says, can this cup pass for me? But not my will, but thine be done, the Lord Jesus says. If this cup pass not from me, my friend, that cup had no sweetness in it. No mercy in it, friend. No compassion in his Heavenly Father. He laid upon him the sins of his dear church. Afflicted upon his holy soul. He poured out his soul unto death, friends. All this terrible confusion these days. But the soul of the Lord Jesus, friends. It's so clear in God's holy word. He poured out his soul unto death. The soul that sins you to die. God's own dear Son poured out his soul unto death. For his dear people. Great drops of blood poured forth by his holy pores on the oppression of those sins and transgressions of his church. He bore all incarnate God could bear. With strength enough and none to spare. The cup. He put the stars in the heaven, the work of his fingers. Going all the great names, the greatest of his power. But for his dear church friends, he had only strength just enough to be strengthened. To bear the awful curse of the sins of his dear people. He who knew no sin then. Oh, what a cup he had, dear friends. That you might have in your life, my poor friend, a cup of sweetness and mercy from heaven. You may realize in God's own dear Son a blessed way of hope and comfort your never dying soul. Your sorrows, your sins, your fears, your weeks and your infirmities, your unworthiness, your darkness, your difficulties, is a blessed bell in Jesus' precious name and blood. Spoke a little on Sunday from that text in the afternoon, unto you therefore which believe he is precious. And friend, he is precious to all these heaven-born souls. He is more precious than their daily food, more precious than their vital blood. But a dear friend at Cambridge, we baptised in the latter part of her life, she had a terrible operation in the hospital. Over 80 years of age, and when she came round, she had but one request: I must be baptised. And so Mr. Haddo and I said about it and said, well, she'd have to wait quite a long time before she's strong enough to raise, they would have got to be baptised. And we tried to make her wait, but she would not wait. She said, no, she said, whatever happens to me, I must be baptised. And so we had a meeting with her and she gave a good testimony, and so we said, well, we wait a week or two and then we'll arrange for a baptising service if the Lord will. You can pass the waters in humble gratitude of God's mercy to your soul. She says, no, she said, next week it must be. And so with much trepidation we prepared that ball at Cambridge after many years to put the dear woman to be baptised. So I went down the front path of the chapel house at Southall to prepare the baptistry. The enemy had a real go at me. I said, go and be in the Cambridgeshire News on the weekend, you know. A woman dies in the baptistry in a little chapel, little Hope Chapel. And you know, my poor wicked heart believed in. I came to a standstill. Lord said to me, dread no ills that may befall you while you make his ways your choice that set me going, friends. And so we went. She was baptized. She came out of the baptismal waters and she looked years younger. She went on about 5 years after that. Came down to the end of her life. I went to see her just before she died. She said to me, will you pray for me? I said, my dear friend, you must pray for yourself, you know. I said, I'll pray for you, Lord helping me. You must pray for yourself. She said, Mr. Buss, I can't do without him. I said, Lord bless you. The last word she spoke to me. And you know, it's with such love and power in her spirit, she said, I buried her with sure and certain hope. Resurrection unto life eternal. I felt that dear person was in the right place. She knew him, friend. She loved him. She worshipped him. Cast all her care upon him. And she died in Christ Jesus. Friend, that's reality. And so, this is what I'll render then. And what should he render? I take the cup of salvation. Not think about it, friends. Not talk about it. Not argue about it, no. But by the grace and mercy of God, with a believing heart, you may lay hold on the hopes that before you, even life everlasting, through the Lamb's redeeming blood. You'll take it. Not argue about it, not talk about it. No. But my friend, that love in your heart, you'll be like dear old David. So I'll take it. Because, friend, you need it. And because you can't live without it, poor soul, you don't die without it. And so this cup of salvation there. I can't speak of this after this evening because so much should be spoken of. But you know, put it briefly. In that cup the Lord gives you in your life, my dear friends, every ingredient of wisdom, compassion, mercy, judgment, power, truth, to all eternity your soul needs to fit you for eternity. And you know, my dear friends, in heaven, that beautiful scripture, the 8th of Romans, is known to all eternity, and we know that all things work together for good them that love him. Their eyes to see and understand, they know as they are known, dear friends, no longer through a glass darkly, then face to face. They see the wisdom and the compassion and the power and the truth and the kingdom of God's own dear Son has wrought such a work in their lives, and they realize that all things do work together for good. But we're on this wilderness yet, aren't we, friends? We can't say it, can we? I hope we prove some things have done as we thought it in our finite minds. But friend, can we say all things? Go to dear old Jacob. He was a godly man, you know. He said, all these things are against me, Jacob says. He didn't mean to speak an untruth, did he? But he did. Go back to Naomi. She looks at her life, her cup. The hand of the Lord gone against me, she said. Poor Naomi. Was it true, friends? No. She had to live through it, friends, and so must you, to prove God's infinite wisdom and compassion. To prove his loving kindness and tender mercy to your soul. Trust in him, ye tempted saints. Tell him all your sad complaints. Your present help will be, give you strength and victory. Let him is a true hymn, friends. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, is a proved truth. So, this cup then ordains every wisdom and mercy and compassion your soul needs to take your soul to heaven at last. For heaven's a prepared place for a prepared people.
And my friend, our sorrows, our darknesses are just as necessary as our times of gladness and times of exaltation. We get a little on the mountaintop sometimes, maybe, but for God's mercy, we are to be kept, don't we? So like dear old Peter long ago, he says, who are kept by the power of God. The Lord sends many things in our lives, friends, that humble us, crumble us, bring us low for his heavenly majesty, as dear David had long ago. But you have to live and prove it. These strange things happen unto us. We can't discern them. But the dear man said, think it not strange. He said, they are strange things. He said, think it not strange. But here's the cup. But rejoice. Can we rejoice when things are so difficult and humbling? Can we rejoice when things seem to go against us? Can we rejoice when things seem opposite to what we expect them to be? Rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, and believe on his name, but to follow in his steps. Did Christ my Lord suffer and shall I repine? It was much rougher and darker than mine. My dear friends, if the Lord dealings with our souls lead us, that dear Redeemer in heaven is doing us good. It's a mercy in the cup of our lives. For dear John says, brethren, try the spirits. And we start trying our spirits, friends, then there's a real sorting out going on, isn't there? And dear David says, search me, O God. Try my spirit, David says, and see. And he did see in David things David had repent of. But John says, try the spirits, brethren. Every spirit confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. All that brings your soul to his footstool of mercy, makes him precious, your never dying soul is of God, and all other things are antichrist, he says. They're against his heavenly majesty, his kingdom, his glorious power. His sufficiency, his mercy, his wonderful salvation in the Lamb's redeeming blood. So from these things they're searching and they're trying. They're most blessed, friends. They're most blessed. The cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Well, do you know, dear old Job had some of his sweetest worship when he lost everything. He had revealed to his soul more than ever before his understanding who the Lord really is. And things went well with Job, and he was a great man, and amongst the elders he could speak wisdom, and they listened to him, and dear Job was in a high place, and God gave a wonderful testimony of dear Job. Make no mistake about that. God let something come into his life that humbled him. And Job doesn't say a word about Satan. My friend, beware. Let's not take up our sermons talking about that great enemy of our souls that only God can deal with. Be more like Job, dear friends. You give him a clear understanding, friends, of his trouble, of whom the Lord really is. And Job worshipped God acceptably. Did not charge God foolishly with impotence. The Satan had not taken control. He never will take control, friends. He's in the hand of God Almighty in heaven unseen. And so Job worshipped the Lord. He said, the Lord gave. So but nothing in the world, Job says with me, whatsoever. He said, the Lord gave all these things to me. He said, the Lord hath taken them away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the cup of salvation, friend, to his never dying soul. In all this, Job sinned not. We may sin, my dear friends, dreadfully in charging God with impotence. We may sin dreadfully in making too much of Satan and his kingdom, talking too much about him. But friend, you'll never sin, my friends, when you come to worship the Lord, friends. though other lords beside him have had dominion over us, though you said, by thee only might mention thy name. And there is a Lord of heaven and earth, my friends, and always will be, long the earth shall last. And this same Lord is the Lord today, poor sinners. He Lord over all things in heaven and in earth. Your life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. He borrows leave of no one to be. He the omnipotence of glory, the omnipotent power, omniscient light. No man can enter unto the prayer, and even the angels must bow their faces. My dear friends, do we know little of him? For as I close, this is life eternal, that he may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. The more we know this only true God, my dear friends, his omnipotence, his glory, his power, his purity, his righteousness, his justice, his holiness, the more we sink down in utter helplessness, friends, to find our refuge in his own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. I've spoken very simply tonight, friends. I can't speak any more because the time is going. But to call upon the name of the Lord, that means the Lord to deal with you. The Lord take charge of your concerns. And you be willing to obey his heavenly kingdom. Great God, thy kingdom come. With reverence would we pray. May the eternal three in one his sovereign scepter sway. May Christ exalted be. Since over endless woe thy great salvation see. My friend, it's so great we can't utter it, can we? It's so vast. Thou dear pastor, you so bethest him, you only just skim the surface. A thimble forth the ocean depths, he used to say. And I know a little what he used to mean in saying such things. I looked in wonderment at the young man. I think, well, the dear man preaches so well. He's only a thimble full. What's he talking about? But my friends, it's only a thimble full. That wonderful mercy, compassion, loving kindness, unerring wisdom, eternal power, that saves poor sinners from hell and eternal misery to heaven to come. With them numbered may we be now and in eternity. It's a gracious pleasure to be here tonight. It's an honour I do not deserve. But I have walked with Peter and Ephraim now many long years in many different ways. And I watch the Lord dealings with them in many ways, his mercy toward them, and I rejoice with them tonight, and I hope it may be a jubilee in their lives. The time came after 50 years in the wilderness, when the great trumpet was blown so that all Israel could hear it, and they set the burden of sinners free. Well, we have the gospel jubilee, dear friends. I pray our dear brother and sister in their soul feel that gospel jubilee in their never dying souls, rejoice in hope of life eternal, for have such a friend on high, beloved at all times, a brother born for adversity. Well, I must leave it here.